my time, but nothing like these Giza Dreams sheets. Now go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams Sheets Special. You'll find out all about them and use my promo code USA to get 30% off and free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams Sheets Special, use my promo code USA.
A judge in Palm Beach County, Florida, sealing secretly recorded videos of New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft in a Florida prostitution case. The videos allegedly show women providing sexual services to dozens of clients, including Kraft. The White House confirming that President Trump's nominee to be U.S. Secretary of Defense will be the acting Secretary Patrick Shanahan.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders tweeting, "Acting Secretary Shanahan has proven over the last several months that he is beyond qualified to lead the Department of Defense, and he will continue to do an excellent job."
That's USA Radio's Robin Walensky reporting. A school district official urged administrators at the Denver area charter school where a shooting happened earlier this week to investigate claims of violence, sexual assault, and campus bullying. CNN reports an anonymous parent tells the Douglas County Board of Education the alleged problems could lead to a repeat of Columbine. Two teenagers are accused of killing one student and wounding eight others in that shooting on Tuesday at STEM school Highlands Ranch. And Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos plans to send a lander to the moon. Bezos unveiled a large model of it during an event at the nation's capital yesterday, remarking his space company Blue Origin has been working on it for over 3 years. Find us online at usaradio.com for USA Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutterton Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here on this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about the new films Long Shot, Ugly Dolls, The Intruder, Sunset, and a vintage review of Forbidden World. I'm also going to be talking about some news, the trailer park, and the home cinema roundup featuring Tarantula. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/KevinGarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
The first piece of news is a sad piece of news in the Star Wars universe. Peter Mayhew, who's not a very recognizable name and not a very recognizable face, but he had a very recognizable character. He played Chewbacca in pretty much everything Star Wars from the original film in 1977 all the way up to The Force Awakens in 2015. And then, of course, he had one of my favorite titles in both The Last Jedi and Solo, A Star Wars Story, as Chewbacca consultant, because he was having mobility issues, so he couldn't do the full performance of Chewbacca, and he was training a younger guy to do it. So he got Chewbacca Consultant. Again, that's probably my favorite credit I've ever seen in a movie. I even had an entire show that I named based on that, Chewbacca Consultant. Peter Mayhew was an incredibly tall person from England who got the part when George Lucas needed somebody to be Chewbacca, because apparently David Prowse was originally going to play Chewbacca, but then decided to play Darth Vader instead. He died at age 74 earlier this week on April 30th of a heart attack. And of course, it's sad to see him go. This is the sad thing about fandoms. Whenever there's a fandom gets to be 30, 40, 50 years old, you start to lose the people who are originally in the fandom. I remember back in the 90s when I was in college. So it was the 25th anniversary of Star Trek. That was right around the time we started to see some of the original Star Trek players start to get old and pass away. Well, of course, Star Wars, which was about 10 years later than Star Trek, now we're starting to see some of the... I mean, of course, we lost Alec Guinness, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi, much earlier in this. And, of course, Peter Cushing, who played Grand Moff Tarkin. But some of the younger characters we're now seeing reach an older age. And, of course, you've got Carrie Fisher, who passed away a couple of years ago. Now you got Peter Mayhew, who I believe was, you know, he was in his 20s or something when he started playing Chewbacca. And, of course, you know, we've got Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford, who are getting up there in age. So that's sad that Peter Mayhew's gone. Big loss for the Star Wars community. The next piece of news I want to talk about is sort of spills into the spoiler territory of the Avengers. I know a lot of people were real hypersensitive to the spoilers of the Avengers, and I am a person who's not a big fan of spoilers at all. I think that people should have a certain degree of restraint in talking about anything. And I've had people say, well, what's the time limit on spoilers? And actually, they asked the directors on, I think it was Good Morning America, they asked the Russo brothers about what their time limit was for spoilers. And they basically said, you know, by the end of this weekend, if it's a high priority for you to have seen the movie, go see the movie. You've had 2 weeks to go see it. And by Monday, if people are going to be talking spoilers, you can't really get mad at them. I think sort of like the big spoilers, the main plot points, you still should try and... Look, if you can't talk about a movie without giving away the ending or big reveals, then you're not good at talking about the movie. It's just everybody wants to write articles about this and that and put stuff in the headlines. Just don't. Be polite. I mean, look, if you've not seen Psycho... It's great to go see Psycho without having it ruined. I got a chance to see Psycho now. I mean, I wasn't born in 1960 when it came out, but sometime in the early 80s, my dad went to a local library and watched Psycho on their, like, they had like an old VHS tape because it wasn't very readily available. VHS players back then were expensive. And so we went there and watched it in this, like, meeting room of the library. I'd never seen Psycho before, and when he hit the reveal of that, I was like, oh, my God, my jaw dropped. I remember when I saw The Matrix for the first time. I hadn't known anything about it. I hadn't watched the commercials. I hadn't seen the ads. And then, of course, you know, it blew my mind. Now, of course, something like The Matrix is 20 years old this year. And, yeah, you may have missed it. Why ruin it for everybody? Why do you have to be that person who has to talk about it? It's, you know, look, I understand that the Russo brothers said that the end of the spoiler train is Monday. But you know what? Don't fart in the elevator for everybody. Because that's exactly what a spoiler is. It's farting in an elevator. Because you may not mind. Because everyone likes the smell of their own brand. But it's rude to do for everybody else. And why is that necessary? Just hold it in. And why do you have to blurt that out? I mean, there's, of course, that story in Hong Kong this weekend that somebody walked out of a theater. And I guess, I don't know whether they were saying stuff specifically to spoil it for people in line. Or whether this person was just talking loudly. And this guy got beaten down. Which I'm not saying that it's okay to take violence against it, but, you know, people are emotionally invested in this, and it's okay to be emotionally invested in movies. That's fine. You know, I mean, people get emotionally invested in sports. Who are you to lecture me as to what I can't be emotionally invested in? Don't sit there and be like, Flint doesn't have clean water yet. Why are you so worried about the Avengers? You can care about Flint getting clean water and want to see the Avengers at the same time. It is okay to be excited about this, and it's rude to spoil it. And you cannot reply with, well, I don't mind spoilers. That's fine. I don't mind my farts in an elevator, but you might. So please, just don't fart in the elevator.
Yeah.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. The first one I want to talk about really quickly is Crawl, which opens on July 12th.
Haley, are you hurt?
I'm fine. Hello, can anybody hear me? I'm trapped with my father in our house in Coral Lake. Please send help.
Haley!
Wait, down here!
In less than an hour, we'll be underwater.
Banging on the pipes blurs their senses.
I can distract them for you.
This is produced by the people who did stuff like Don't Breathe. I think Sam Raimi's involved in it, but Alexander Aja is directing this. And I think he is wildly talented. Now, his last couple movies haven't really turned me on. I didn't see his last one, but the one before it, Horns, was okay. But I love his earlier stuff, even The Hills Have Eyes, and when he did High Tension. High Tension is a disturbingly well-done movie. Even Mirrors is really good. So I'm really looking forward to this one. I sort of poo-pooed this when I heard the premise that there's a giant alligator trapped in a house with people that are trying to survive a flood in a hurricane. But you watch this trailer, it looks intense. So I'm looking forward to this one. The next one I want to talk about is Sonic the Hedgehog, which opens on November 8th.
20 minutes ago, an energy surge knocked out power across the entire Pacific Northwest. This needs someone who can figure out exactly what we're dealing with.
Okay, pal, I want answers. Basically, it looks like I'm going to have to save your planet.
Oh, is that all you got?
No, but thank you for asking.
Whatever this creature is, our job is to secure it, neutralize it, see what makes it tick.
First thing that's funny about this, it's Jean-Ralphio Saperstein from Parks and Rec doing the voice for Sonic the Hedgehog, which would be the worst. This made a lot of noise this week because Sonic the Hedgehog looks just terrible. They kind of make him a little more human, so it's still like halfway between the Sonic character and a human. Looks like a guy in almost like a mascot uniform. And rightfully so, people on the internet went bonkers. What's interesting about this, and while this movie looks like it's something that would have come out in the turn of the century, you know, something like Rocky and Bullwinkle, or maybe something even relegated to the 90s, or something like Super Mario Brothers, that's about the level of quality that this movie looks like. I give the filmmakers credit. The director came out and tweeted this week that because of the negative press they've gotten about the look of Sonic the Hedgehog, they're going to re-render him. And I think that's okay. It's not the first time that's happened. I believe they did tweaking on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles after that first trailer dropped. Because it says you can do that, and they got until November till it comes out. But I find that interesting. Let's not give the internet too much power to determine what people are going to backtrack on. But if you're going to backtrack on Sonic the Hedgehog's creepy, uncanny valley nature, that's not a bad idea. Anyways, I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Ugly Dolls and Sunset. Because we can't.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
Mike Hewitt here. We just witnessed yet another U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. This one an attempted roasting of Attorney General Barr. Democratic presidential candidates presenting their caustic, nasty side, obviously showboating for fundraising and for extreme left primary votes. I'm not being partisan. I'm sharing an observation. I get it. We have an adversarial political system, but we used to have decorum, respect even in disagreement. Now we're witnessing something very different, dangerous, both politically and culturally. If we want our representatives to do our bidding, to represent us, to actually get something done, like a modern infrastructure, a modern immigration system, and so much more, we must reel them in. Resisting everything is to resist even the things we want and need. That's not how we build the future. Like the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the movie reviews with Ugly Dolls. A settlement of misfit dolls discover the way to become a child's toy.
Do you honestly think your little band of sock puppets stands a chance here? It's probably better if you just go back where you belong.
Are we really not good enough for the big world?
You know what? We're not going anywhere.
What?
Our flaws make us who we are.
Ew.
Those are all worth fighting for.
Tú vienes aquí mucho.
Hard pass.
Ew, ew, ew.
Another swing, another miss.
Okay, first of all, I was not aware that there was actually a toy line called Ugly Dolls. And this really kind of flew under my radar. I remember seeing the name of the movie on release sheets going back a couple months, but never really paying attention to it. Everything was like so focused on the Avengers last week that I didn't even think about this until Monday. And then we had a screening for it and I went to go see it. And, you know, I got to say, there's a weird amount of, let's just call it connective tissue between this and something like Toy Story. Toy Story is far superior. First off, just anything Pixar has done trumps this completely. This movie is a lower level production. This is something that falls between a major release like Pixar and something that would go direct to video. And that's not necessarily shaming this movie. I'm just saying it's a lower level production. It's kind of like if you remember when the movie Hoodwinked came out, that was a huge cry from the Shrek movies. But it was actually, Hoodwinked was a really clever little movie. The second one was terrible. But that does, you can do something clever and fun and cute on a limited budget. Now, when it comes to this movie, it's not terribly subtle. I mean, it's about these dolls at a perfect doll factory, and somehow they get these colossal blunders of doll production, and they're supposed to go into the recycling bin, but somehow they end up in this ugly ville or ugly town or wherever it is. and they find their way to the perfect world where all the dolls look perfect and are supposed to be then learning to become toys for small kids. The biggest problem with this movie that I found from just watching it as an adult, and I know I am not the target market for it, I am a much older dude than anyone should be watching this movie, unless you take your kids. It's one of those movies where I felt a little creepy just being in the theater alone. It certainly skews to a young age. And when I say young age, I'm talking about like 8 or under. I mean, pretty young. I'm talking like preschool, early, first, second grade. It was funny. I asked my son, who's in fifth grade, I'm like, do you care about this movie? He's like, no. So, I mean, by fifth grade, he's new. He doesn't want anything to do with it. It's cute. It has a certain message that's pretty not subtle. It does hit you over the head with the message. I mean, it's very blatant, and it doesn't hide its messaging well, which is normally what you see in preschool programming. I've seen a lot of preschool programming. They usually are pretty blunt and straightforward because kids don't understand subtleties and nuances and at that young of an age, which is what makes it different than something like Toy Story, whereas Toy Story has a level of nuance that can connect with kids but also will reach the adults in the audience. But ultimately, it's not meant to compete with Toy Story. It's meant to be a lower level cartoon. Its biggest competition right now is something like Missing Link, which unfortunately is a great movie, but got relegated to lower level status and not a whole lot of people saw it. But Ugly Dolls, it has some decent music, probably overly done with the music. It does seem to be trying to spin off, I guess basically an amalgamation between the Toy Story movies and Trolls, where it's got a message, it's got music, it's got a lot of music, and almost too much, really. I mean, it just goes from song to song to song. It's almost like a Broadway musical, only without the quality of songwriting that is involved. Ultimately, it's cute enough. I was kind of bored with it, but that's because I'm in my 40s and I'm not a child. But overall, I mean, you could do worse. So I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to say that Ugly Dolls kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Sunset. Now, this is a foreign film, so there's no trailer for it because it's in Hungarian. And even though I'm a proud Hungarian boy, I can't speak Hungarian. I can just swear in Hungarian because, thanks to my grandfather. Anyways, in pre-World War I Hungary, a woman comes to the business her dead parents used to run to claim her birthright, only to discover a brother she didn't know she had, wrapped up in a political revolution. This is directed by Laszlo Nemes, I think is how you say his name. He is best known for directing Son of Saul, which won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film a couple years ago. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but four or five years ago, which was a heartbreaking film about a guy who worked in Auschwitz as one of the prisoners whose job it was to clean up the gas chamber after everybody died, take all the valuables out of their pockets, give it away to the Nazis, and clean all the dead bodies and the blood and any problems that had happened in there. And it's a heartbreaking story because it's a real thing that happened. And it was very unique in how it was put together because the way he shot this was the film, almost every single frame of the film had the guy's shoulders and or head somewhere in the frame. So it basically was like the camera was almost not mounted, but it was the cameraman followed the main character around. A lot of times you saw the back of his head so you could see what he saw, and it would sometimes turn around and see his face. But it was all that close up on this character where it just was following him. And that was an interesting way to shoot it, and I thought it was fascinating for Son of Saul. Nemes does the same thing for this movie. The only problem is he already did it once. This movie does not warrant that. This movie isn't the heartbreaking, fly-on-the-wall look at a concentration camp. It's the story of a woman coming back to her roots and of course, running into political intrigue and violence and everything that led up in Hungary to World War I. I'm not a big historian, so I don't know the nuance of that. But there's a lot of interesting stuff to explore. It's just that it's exploring it always from this woman's shoulder it just doesn't quite work. It doesn't seem to be the gimmick that works as it did in Son of Saul, and it leads me to believe that that was this is how he's going to shoot every movie. It wasn't a brilliant piece of filmmaking. It was just a gimmick that he tends toward that worked really well in one instance and doesn't work well in this one. Plus, this movie's like 2 hours and 20 minutes long. It's extremely long. And it's drawn out, mainly because it's almost shot with a one-shot mentality, so the editing isn't as crisp. The movement of the film isn't as crisp. So it does drag, and it meanders from here to there of her trying to, you know, set herself back up into society and then going and wandering into these political issues. And when something harrowing is supposed to happen, a lot of it happens off screen and it's not as gritty as it could be if they actually compose it. There's some shots in there where he does move away from that now and then, where you get some neat cinematography, but not nearly enough. It just, the movie parks itself on this actress's shoulder. And that's a challenge for her because she kind of seems unaffected in a lot of ways because she can't be emoting constantly through the whole movie for 2.5 hours of seeing her face. It doesn't work as a framing device, and it drags, and it just gets kind of dull, which is unfortunate because the guy had a lot of talent, and I just hope he wasn't a one-hit wonder. Anyways, I'm going to have to say that Sunset kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Oh, okay. That's it for the segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Long Shot and The Intruder.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A live TV appearance last night by the former FBI Director James Comey won't do anything to settle his feud with President Trump, who today is criticizing Comey for saying that Trump could still be prosecuted after he leaves office for obstruction of justice. Trump saying on Twitter today that Comey was a disgrace to the FBI and saying both Republicans and Democrats thought he should be fired. Comey also saying on that CNN town hall,
"We are becoming numb to the fact that the leader of the free world lies constantly. And even if you support him, you have to look in the mirror and say, yeah, he lies constantly. We're so numb to it that we're forgetting it's not okay, and that's a recipe for a melting of our standards."
The Labor Department says inflation ticked up 0.3% last month from March. However, the Consumer Price Index was up a full 2% even since April of last year. This is USA Radio News.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Too sexy for my shirt, so sexy it hurts.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with the movie reviews, the new ones this week. And one of these is counter-programming that probably in a different world would have opened against the Avengers last week, but that was such a four-quadrant movie that was good. You know, I read a statistic. The Avengers last weekend, 90% of all tickets sold in the U.S. were for Avengers Endgame. That means 1 in 10 tickets went to something else. I mean, that's an overwhelming number. That is something that counter-programming can't stand a chance again. Even this week, it's going to be tough with counter-programming for any movie to make any noise, because Avengers is going to be making this weekend basically what a movie like The Dark Knight made its opening weekend, which is unheard of. But getting back to Longshot, this movie is a romantic comedy of sorts. It's R-rated, so it has some raunchiness to it, which is not to be unexpected with Seth Rogen attached to it. A maverick journalist becomes the unlikely speechwriter for a presidential candidate who used to babysit him in middle school.
Is the Secretary of State looking at us?
I kind of know her.
It's like kind of knowing a mermaid.
Do you tell people that?
She probably doesn't remember who I am.
Secretary Field would like to speak with you.
With me?
I can't shake this feeling that we know each other.
We do.
We do?
Picture me, I guess, maybe like 20 years younger.
But like this.
Barsky?
Yeah!
I need some writers to punch up my speeches. Fred's writing is really good.
Do you like date?
I mean, who wants to follow me around the world and hope I have 5 minutes to be affectionate?
Yeah.
I gotta find out who Seth Rogen's agent is, because he does an amazing job. Look at all the just gorgeous actresses and women that get paired with Seth Rogen. I mean, even going back to like 2007's Knocked Up, Seth Rogen, of all people, ends up with Katherine Heigl, who turns out to be kind of a nut job later on in her career, but she was the hot young, and she's gorgeous. She may be nuts, but she's gorgeous. And he's been in other movies where he's with some totally beautiful women. Like, you know, obviously you got Charlize Theron in this movie. I mean, come on. Seriously, Charlize Theron slumming it with Seth Rogen? And then you've got him, like, when he was with him when he did Neighbors. He was with Rose Byrne, who's just a beautiful woman on her own right. He's always with some absolutely knockout gorgeous. This is just an equivalency of the Woody Allen mentality, where you got this dorky, nerdish guy who always ends up with a gorgeous woman, which ironically, Woody Allen almost ended up in a movie with Charlize Theron in Celebrity. It's just he had Kenneth Branagh playing a version of him because it had become so absurd to have Woody Allen playing himself in these kind of movies. So there's a certain amount of weirdness to that, because on one hand, if you want to talk gender politics, is an interesting casting choice, because Charlize Theron's significantly older than him, 4 or 5 years at least. And look, she looks fantastic. She's about my age, and she probably looks better at my age than I look at my age, let me tell you. But it's nice to see a woman in her 40s getting recognition and getting a significant role. But why is she and yeah, it's nice to have an older woman with a younger man, which is generally not the case. You usually have an older man with a younger woman. But then it ends up being Seth Rogen, which is kind of, that takes the cool specialness out of it. Anyways, the movie itself is funny. It has some surprisingly funny moments, and more than are in the trailer itself. And a lot of that goes to how well Rogen and Theron work in the movie, especially together. They have a certain degree of chemistry, but not just them, but the other people who are around them. You've got Bob Odenkirk playing the president, and he's very funny. He's basically playing a version of if Martin Sheen had run for president because he was on the West Wing and then becoming a president. Yes, I know, people are going to be like, it's because it's making fun of Trump. Well, I guess. I mean, it's the celebrity president, of which Trump is, and they do so show his focus on watching television. But the thing is, this isn't a terribly political of a movie. For a movie that is steeped in the political backdrop, it's not an overtly political movie. Now, they make Seth Rogen's character very much a left-wing liberal journalist, and that's okay because that just fits his role, and he's at times kind of a caricature of that. And you've got Charlize Theron basically playing a white version of Condoleezza Rice, where she's this very conservative, but I mean, she has this environmental bent, so, you know, that wouldn't fall in terms of political alignment. But the whole point is that she's the more respectful character, whereas Seth Rogen's kind of the maverick in this whole thing. June Diane Raphael plays Charlize Theron's campaign manager, and she is hilarious. I wish she'd get more work. She's on How Did This Get Made, and you've seen her and stuff because she's married to, oh, his name escapes me, the guy who was in The League who played Andre. They do a show called How Did This Get Made, and they do that together. And she shows up on a lot of these comedy shows, and she shows up as a supporting character in various things, everything from The League to Parks and Recreation and you know, other TV shows. She pops up every night. I think she was in New Girl as one of Jessica Day's friends. She's very funny in this, and she actually is given a little bit more than she normally gets as a side character, and it's nice to see her do something funny in this and actually take the spotlight at moments. But overall, this movie's funny because while it has these political digs and while it makes these things that attach itself to current politics, obviously with, you know, for example, the Bob Odenkirk playing the celebrity president, or they have a character who's very obviously Robert Murdoch, who runs a news network. They latch these things on there, but they're also not, it's not a movie about policy. It's not a movie about politics itself. It's a movie that takes place in politics. And for the most part, it's not trying to say a whole lot about any issue, which is fine. Not every political movie has to be a movie about politics. You can watch this and be a little bit of a political junkie, and no matter what side of the aisle you come from, you're going to at least find some things that you're going to be like, oh, they're making fun of me, but they're making fun of somebody else at the same time. I think that they walk that line pretty well with this movie, which makes it just ultimately at the end a nice little romantic comedy. Kind of like My Fellow Americans, if you remember that movie with James Gardner and Jack Lemmon. That was very, very funny because they dug at both the Democrats and the Republicans kind of evenly so that this could be a movie that anybody can enjoy and just have some fun. Because we need that now and then. So I'm going to have to say that Long Shot kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. The next film I want to talk about is The Intruder. A young couple buys a house only to discover that the previous owner can't let go of his past and becomes a major threat to them.
My great-great-grandfather built this house. It's the only house I ever lived in.
I put my soul into it.
Foxglove is yours now.
We'll take good care of her. I felt bad for him. Thought she'd be gone by now.
That's hard. Hard to say goodbye.
You just bought the Peck House, right?
Yeah.
Charlie's quite a guy. Just don't look too close under the mask. His wife died in that house. At least that's how Charlie explained it.
This movie wasn't screened. And I was not surprised because this falls in that line of like urban thrillers like One Good Deed, or there was another one, The Perfect Man. I think Michael Ealy, who's in this movie, he was in that movie with like Taraji P. Henson, I think, who was in that one. But this one has Ealy and Megan Good as the young couple. And of course, they're black. So it does fall into that category. There's this subgenre of like domestic thrillers with a African-American cast. And like there's one like Perfect Man, No Good Deed, all those kind of things. Even there's that one with Beyonce and Idris Elba where you had Ali Larter as the other woman who is coming after Idris Elba. You have that as a subgenre, and these movies tend to do really well and are kind of critic proof. I found the premise interesting. I think Dennis Quaid taking on the role of a dastardly character, of a bad guy, is good because I think he can play bad guy. He just doesn't do it all that often. I mean, you can also look at this as a weird sub-edit of The Dog's Journey, A Dog's Purpose, which makes it its own little movie. I think this movie looks like it might be just a fun suspense thriller, something you would see on Lifetime Network, but it's in a major motion picture setting. It looks like it's fun. It looks like it has some nice twists. It looks like the trailer gives away most of the movie, so if you don't want to have that spoiled, you know, the Avengers did really good at keeping their trailer unspoilery. This one, not so much. I kind of wanted to see it, but they didn't screen it for me. So, unfortunately, that means I'm going to give it a preemptive suck. Sorry, guys.
It sucks.
Anyways, that's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to review a vintage title, Forbidden World by Roger Corman. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the box office and the home cinema roundup featuring Tarantula.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the final movie review. One of the things I'm starting to do is look at a lot of vintage releases, because here's the thing that's happening right now. In movies, you've got the first run movies in the theaters, and that's great. And sometimes I'm going to look at stuff that's on Netflix, or if it comes to another streaming service, or maybe I might look at a TV show. It's a lot of it's what people are watching. And I always wanted to watch Forbidden World. And the reason I wanted to watch it was this classic Roger Corman ripoff movie. And Shout Factory has done, or Scream Factory has done a release of this on Blu-ray. But I had a chance to caught it on, I think it was on Amazon Prime, where you can mine through some of the older releases and see some stuff that it's like going back to the old video store back in the Blockbuster days. So let's talk about Forbidden World right now. This Roger Corman alien ripoff finds a group of scientists on a research station that are threatened by a biological encounter.
A galactic troubleshooter summoned to the Forbidden World. Held in an icy grip of fear by a weird biological mutation. Part alien, part human, all nightmare.
What is this thing, Hauser?
Proto being what?
Just stick with your charter, Colby. Just figure out a way to trap it.
You figure it out. I'm not going back in there.
I thought we should try to communicate with it. I know it's far-fetched, but it might work.
Forbidden World seems to be paired with Galaxy of Terror. That's another Roger Corman film. It's a sci-fi movie. It's another kind of an alien ripoff. It's less directly an alien ripoff than Forbidden World. And look, I like Galaxy of Terror. I think it's a fun, cheesy, out there science fiction movie. It's an exploitation film. And both of these films are loaded with nudity and sex and violence and gore and inappropriate stuff that kids shouldn't be watching. These are sort of that essence of the early 80s cheesy Roger Corman before something kind of relegated into obscurity or video. And I have to say, while a lot of people give a nod to Galaxy of Terror, and while Galaxy of Terror is fun, I actually like Forbidden World a lot more, mainly because it seems a little more intimate. It's a smaller movie, and even though it's a ripoff of Alien, it puts itself in a small enough box that it has to work well within that. And it's got to do the monster alien and the interpersonal relationship, and you got to have a body count. You have to have people getting attacked by the alien or killed in various ways. It also has some very beautiful ladies that are nude half the time in the movie. And look, hey, that speaks to me. I'm sorry if that makes me a pig, but it speaks to me, and I appreciate that. So, you know, I like watching it for multiple reasons. But this film is weirdly cohesive. I mean, the characters are still kind of garbage. And the main guy who's sort of the hero of it, I guess, he's a bit of a scoundrel, and which is kind of typical for that era where the character's not terribly likable. But just the fact of what they're fighting, it reminds me a little bit of, like, like Saturn V, which was that movie with Kirk Douglas and Farrah Fawcett, and I think Harvey Keitel was in it. I remember watching that a while back. I caught that on Amazon Prime. And that's another one that's, you know, wasn't a big budget movie. It wasn't trying to be 2001 or Star Wars. And it still was just a lot of fun because it was sort of a cheesy grindhouse kind of movie that managed to do this on a budget. Now, of course, like Forbidden World has a bunch of old shots from stuff like Battle Beyond the Stars, other Roger Corman productions that he edited in because he reused footage all the time, especially stuff that cost money to do models and visuals and optical effects and everything like that. But I have to say, you know, Forbidden World, as stupid as it is and as bad as the characters are and as meandering it is, it's still kind of an enjoyable little monster movie that takes place on a spaceship. So I'm going to have to give a thumbs up to Forbidden World. I'm going to have to say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk really quickly about the box office. Not a whole lot to say about the box office, except that the Avengers just destroyed it last weekend. The Avengers made an insane amount of money. It made, in its opening weekend, $350 million. That is above, I think it's like, there's only like four or five or six Marvel Cinematic Universe movies that have made that much in its gross the entire run. That's more than the original or the sequel of Iron Man made its entire run domestically. That is absurd. I remember back in 2008 when The Dark Knight came out. I wrote an article, I was writing for an online magazine called Film School Rejects at the time, and I wrote a story about how much The Dark Knight could actually make. And I crunched the numbers and I said, well, there's approximately this many theaters in the country. And if they put it on two screens and they run it all day long and they're going to have this many things and the average ticket price is this. I basically said that at the most it would have potential to make would be like $300 million its opening weekend. And the editor of Film School Rejects at the time had made a joke, oh, it's going to make $1 billion. Well, we're at that point. It took 11 years to get to the point that not only did it go past the $300 million, dwarfed it, and then it made $1.2 billion in its opening weekend worldwide. To put that in perspective, at the end of the weekend, last weekend, Avengers was in the top 18 or 17 movies of all time, the amount that it's made total, and that just took it a weekend. Granted, you got to account for inflation and everything, but that's just an absurd amount of money for this movie to make, and it's a bona fide hit. The thing everyone's watching is to see whether it's going to top Star Wars in terms of domestic gross and whether it's going to have a chance at striking at Avatar, because I believe it's going to beat Titanic in terms of worldwide gross, but we'll see if it beats Avatar as the number one movie of all time. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. This week's spotlight is on Tarantula with an exclamation point. John Agar stars in this giant monster movie about a scientific experiment gone horribly awry, which causes a desert tarantula to grow to ginormous size.
Even science was stunned. The new atomic miracle should have been mankind's greatest boon. Instead, when such power to cause phenomenal growth proved dangerously unstable, man was confronted with his most shocking blunder.
The isotope triggered our nutrient into a nightmare.
A blunder that transformed a tiny insect into the 100-foot spider that was now ravaging the panic-stricken countryside.
This is one of those movies that I've kind of avoided over the years. I love old cheesy monster movies. But this was never done on Mystery Science Theater, to my knowledge, so I never saw it on that. This, I don't think they've ever done a Riff Trax on this. I've always sort of felt that this would be just similar to Them. I know Them is a classic movie. If you don't know, Them's the one about the giant ants. It's an okay monster movie, but it's tedious, and it's just kind of, it's dull at times. I mean, the monster's effects are goofy. And that's what I thought Tarantula was going to be, so I kind of avoided it. One of the things that actually weirdly drew me to this is it has John Agar in it. And John Agar, I find, is one of those pinnacle, terrible actors of monster movies. His career really hit the skid. He's sort of like the Lionel Atwell of the 50s. You know, Lionel Atwell had a very illustrious beginning of his career, but by the time he hit the 40s, he was basically showing up in every Universal Monster movie as the grandfather or the chief of police or the Burgermeister or something like that. He even played Commissioner Gordon in the old Batman serial. But John Agar shows up in stuff like The Revenge of the Creature and The Mole People and The Brain from Planet Aros, these kind of goofy, cheesy films. What I found fascinating about this movie is not the giant tarantula. That stuff was fine. And like the last 20 minutes is just the giant tarantula running around and them trying to destroy it. What I found funny about this movie is it's very entertaining for its absurdity. Like this scientist is creating a serum that grows things big. And so he's got a lab rat the size of a greyhound. And he's got like this guinea pig that's grown the size of like a real pig, like a hog. And what's hilarious is it's making pig noises. It's squealing and grunting, which is not the noise a guinea pig makes, because a guinea pig is not a pig. And then they have these weird sort of plot turns to it. Like at one point they say to John Agar's character, they're like, oh, something's out there killing Farmer Jed's cattle. And he's like, oh, he's just kind of uninterested in that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Cattle are 1,000-pound beasts. They are large animals. If something's killing your cattle, you should be concerned about that. I mean, these aren't like chickens. You know, a fox didn't get in a hen house. I mean, what animal goes out there and kills cattle? Maybe a pack of wolves? But are, you know, huh? And then when they find the cattle, they're these three skeletons of cattle. I mean, like, wait, hold on a second. Not only did it kill these cattle, it skeletonized these cattle. Something is out there that sucked all the flesh, thousands of pounds of meat off of these animals. And they're like, yeah, we'll take care of this after lunch. It's such an absurd movie. There's so many of those moments in there that are hilarious. Anyways, I have to say that Tarantula, because it has an exclamation point at the end, totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent.
And that's it for this week. I need to go. When I come back next week, I'm going to be talking about Detective Pikachu, The Hustle, and Palms. Until then, have a fat time at the movies.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says he's in no hurry to strike a trade deal with China after U.S. tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods go from 10 to 25%. Republican Senator Martha McSally tells ABC 15 in Arizona something had to be done.
We need to crank up the pressure and have a breakthrough because we can't have this hurt Americans while they're working through the negotiations. But for decades, they've been cheating and it's been hurting Americans and it is a national security issue. So hopefully we can get a breakthrough soon so it's better for America and Arizona.
The FBI is now investigating the former owner of a Florida day spa. Cindy Yang used to own the spa in Jupiter, Florida, where New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft was arrested in March for alleged solicitation of prostitution. Now the FBI is conducting a corruption probe to determine if Yang illegally distributed money from China into President Trump's re-election campaign. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get mom a great gift from Kohl's and get a little something for yourself. $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Give her a Philosophy Amazing Grace bath gift set, just $55, and get $10 Kohl's cash. Or a Diamond Heart pendant, only $109.99, and you'll get $20 Kohl's cash. Plus, take $10 off your $50 or more Mother's Day gift purchase, Thursday through Sunday at Kohl's. Select styles. $10 offer valid May 1st through 12th with promo code MOMSDAY10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind. But the fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart, visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The two suspects accused in the shooting at a Colorado school this week have had their hearings postponed. The students were both scheduled to appear in court on Friday, but prosecutors and defense attorneys agreed to push back their hearings to the morning of May 15th. The postponement comes as investigators look into reports whether a private security guard may have fired on a deputy sheriff on the day of the shooting and could have possibly hit a student. 109 hate crime charges have been leveled against a 19-year-old gunman in last month's shooting at a Southern California synagogue. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
The charges were announced by Robert S. Brewer, Jr., the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of California.
A criminal complaint charges John Ernest with 109 counts, including 54 counts of obstruction of free exercise of religious beliefs resulting in death and bodily injury and involving the attempt to kill.
Each count could carry the death penalty. I'm John Clemens.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Vice President Mike Pence on Friday renewed his call for Democratic leadership to strip freshman lawmaker Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota of her seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
Look, Ilhan Omar has made statements, anti-Semitic comments, statements against our most cherished ally, Israel, that ought to be rejected by every American. And frankly, the fact that very recently she's been trying to blame the United States of America for the deprivation and the poverty brought on by the dictatorship in Venezuela just tells me, look, the people of Minnesota will decide whether or not she remains in Congress. But Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has no place on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and the Democratic leadership ought to remove her.
The vice president was also asked on Fox and Friends about the latest news regarding North Korea and them testing of short-range missile.
President Trump truly believes that Chairman Kim wants to negotiate. But as he said yesterday, it doesn't look like he wants to negotiate right now. And so look, we're going to continue to stand firm.
And finally, as many of you know, Sunday is Mother's Day. A recent AT&T survey estimated that 122 million phone calls are made to moms on Mother's Day. Now, 11% say they never call their mothers on Mother's Day. Shame on those folks. And 3% may collect calls to their mom. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.